Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Yes, sir. It's our number one, uno, of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3. Hope you're having a fantastic day. It's a Cowboys Monday here. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. There's Brian Broaddus at 75 and Fitzhugh along with Lucius Alexander and you. We are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Jeff is out today. Just texting with him at the break. He is crossing the Colorado-Kansas border. And he's coming on home in what he's calling a Corona Drive 2020. He's sick. He's been sick for 4 or 5 days. A lot of vomiting and other Corona symptoms. And he's not sure he's got Corona, but he's driving home. So we're wishing Jeff the best. We hope it's not coronavirus. We'll miss him today. He sounds like he's in fairly good spirits. So maybe he'll be working tomorrow through an illness, or maybe, you know, it'll get bad and he won't be able to work. But you know, he's 4 or 5 days into being sick, and I think he was hoping it would clear, but it hasn't. So he woke up today and decided he needs to rent a car to get back from a little hiking out there in Colorado. He felt like it was going to be super irresponsible to get on a jet. I think he did the right thing there. But he also felt like it'd be super irresponsible to just stay away. So he's going to come on home and quarantine and possibly work, depending on the results of his COVID test. But check it out. This morning he goes for the COVID test, a drive-through one in Colorado. They're so worried about it, they won't even let the tech do the test. Mm. He had to self-administer. He had to shove the swab up his own nose. So he's sitting there like jamming the swab up his nose and trying to look at the tech, and the tech's like, just a little bit farther. So he's sitting there kind of feeling awkward and kind of laughing, shoving a COVID swab up his nose, getting it down his throat. So, yeah, Jeff's battling out there. He's doing his best to get back, Nation. How the hell are you doing, Brian?
I'll tell you what, I sound like, I thought I was just worrying about a leaky defense in the back end.
Yeah.
Man, you have to do your own COVID test, but thoughts and prayers with our teammate. You know, the guy's got some toughness. There's no question about that. There's no way I would do my own test. I would just drive to another place. Colorado's a big state. I'm like, okay, I'll find somebody to do this for me. Thank you very much.
I couldn't believe him when he texted me that. I figured, man, that's incredible. You'd have to sedate me, you know?
There's no way.
So best of luck, seriously, though, to Jeff. And it does sound like, you know, he's not experiencing some more of the serious symptoms that you could. And it's not confirmed he has it. So fingers crossed there, good buddy. Okay, what is the thing that most concerns you about the Cowboys right now? At 1-2 now, could be 0-3, Brian.
Yeah, General, I think the thing that bothers me the most is that there are veteran players that are making mistakes. And yesterday you can talk about that in that game. And, you know, it's amazing that the Cowboys, you know, you give the Seahawks 13 possessions. They had 14, but the last one was a kneel down. But you give them 13 possessions and you get off the field on 8 of them. And you're thinking, man, you know, wow, what a great job by the defense. But the other opportunities they had, you're just going, oh, what happened? You know, and I think it's one thing for Diggs, you know, to make mistakes in coverage, but it's another thing for veterans, you know, for Lewis and Worley and Woods and those guys to make, you know, Joe Thomas on a 4th-and-2. You know, those are – you can't have those types of mistakes if you're going to win a game of that magnitude. You know, going up to Seattle, and they had a shot. They really, really did. With all the bad things that happened to him during that game – when you sit down and really study it, you know, Russell Wilson did a great job of taking advantage of you not being very smart. And that's the thing that bothers me the most, is that we hear early in the week about we need to dumb this thing down. And then you have those massive mistakes in the back end, and you're like going, okay, well, how much more do they need to dumb it down? Or is there something with the players? You know, that's the concerns I have.
Was it on two of the Tyler Lockett touchdowns that it just nobody was with them?
Well, and you know, at 2:40 today, I'm going to get into the stuff that I see, like we always do on a Monday. I'll try and paint a picture of what I saw.
Okay.
And but the first one, the bomb that they threw, it looked like to me watching it that Diggs was expecting help to the inside, and there was no threat. There was no threat underneath for Woods. I don't know what Woods was looking at. Sometimes if you get a vertical player, you'll get a crosser to draw the attention of the safety up. And it looked like they were playing bracket coverage on both sides. And for some reason, Woods just stayed stationary. It's like he was mesmerized by Russell Wilson dropping in the pocket. And all of a sudden, Diggs is trying to think, okay, where's my inside help? Because if you look at the other side, you could see like a bracket look. And, but instead, no Woods. And it happened to him a couple of times in this game. And that, I think, when you start talking about veteran players, and not just the safeties, I'm just saying veteran players, that in itself is a problem.
Okay, for you at 877-881-1053. What kind of feedback do you have for us here on the AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text? You've heard Brian, the veteran players. That is a concern because they had a chance. There's enough talent. But if you're kind of sabotaging yourself after simplifying the defense, you got to ask yourself, I want to throw out there, isn't it clear that Earl Thomas could clean a lot of that up? And why is he not anywhere? We don't know. Maybe it's not even possible. But, boy, if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm beating up my own front office and I'm beating up the agent's phone line trying to get some answers to that. Because this offense can do some things, and when they get their tackles back, it's going to be real dangerous, Brian.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. To me, with Dak and some of the issues that they had offensively on the turnovers and stuff, these are things that they can handle. I felt like the problems, even on the offense, there are a couple of times they got the sacks, the pressure, using max protection, keeping guys in. They're setting up plays. The interception, it was something max protected. The fumble before in the second half, max protected, so those are problems that, man, if you're setting up things and you're saying, okay, we're going to take a shot with this, we're going to go double move here and we're going to take a shot, and all of a sudden you get sack, pressure, fumble, is that on the quarterback? Is that on the coaches? Who's that on? It's unfortunate that happens to them. But yeah, I think the thing you're talking about with Earl Thomas is that There's more to the story, General. And I think, I think that you and I and Jeff and others have an idea what the story is, but you can't get into that story right now.
You
can't. And it would be irresponsible on our part. But it's something that, you're right, I think that Jerry Jones has to ask the question, all right, can we get him help for these issues? Can we get him what he needs? I mean, you brought it up in the crosstalk. There's avenues to help Alden Smith. There's avenues to help Randy Gregory. There's avenues, and if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm thinking, okay, is he getting help now away from all this? And when is that help over with?
It can get turned around. If it's really bad, maybe you need a year of time, but it's not that bad. The guy hasn't been arrested.
Right.
The guy didn't assault a coach. He didn't go full Latrell Sprewell. He's a jerk and he's unreliable and he doesn't like taking any coaching, and his career is not where it was with his play on the field, and that ticks him off. That triggers him. So then he can't take the criticism. He's used to being beyond reproach. I'm so damn good. And I think it all messed with him and kind of came together as a perfect storm to put him in a bad spot.
Exactly.
But you can turn this stuff around. He's still young, and I think he's still got a lot of great football in him. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that that's why we've had silence, that, he's meeting with somebody or doing what he's got to do to show teams, listen, that was my bad. The team leaders in Baltimore voted me out, and I realized, holy cow, oops,
yes.
So everybody goes through trials and tribulations in their life, and hey, but I'd make sure I'm first in line. And it is encouraging that no other team is out there. It makes me wonder, are the Cowboys and Earl just waiting until when it's right? And if the tackles could come together, if you could get Cheeto or Anthony Brown back on the field and Earl Thomas there and Leighton Van Der Esch by November,
right,
then, hey, who knows? You know, but I think the cool thing is this team is proving to me, Brian, that injuries on the offensive line don't mean they have a historically bad day. Maybe it means they can't run it, but they're not going to keep trying to run.
Right.
Can't run, guys.
Right.
Time to throw to our, you know, Hall of Fame selection of wide receivers out here.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, and again at 2:40, I want to get into the questions I have, because that drive that was the 16 plays, 70 yards, man, I wish you could have run the ball at the end there. I mean, yeah. I was starting to look at that thing, and I turned to Ari Temkin and during the game, and I go, man, if Dallas can just milk this clock out and make them use all their timeouts and give this guy no time to do anything, you know,
and
unfortunately, though, the series of plays that they ran didn't allow that to happen, but they did a great job of taking that ball with almost 10 minutes to go and taking it inside 420, you know, and you're thinking, man, if they could just kill three more minutes of this game and score, then now you've put Russ and this group in a hard spot, and, you know, they just couldn't do it. So. This team with the offensive line situation it is, and now you've had guys that you now add a fourth receiver, potentially a fifth receiver as well, that have the ability to show that they can make plays.
Yeah, we got to talk about Noah Brown and Cedric Wilson.
Yeah.
They have arrived, so congratulations to those guys.
Yeah,
there's a lot of different angles on their production. They run 27 plays over their final two possessions and only end up with 3 points.
Yeah.
They got a lot of yards.
Yes.
Do you look at that as a positive, as a negative? Why can't they finish drives? I think that might be one of the big things.
Yeah, I think that they got into, a mode late in that game, especially when they get the third and four, they get the encroachment, and you're like, oh, now you got them jumping, now you got them kind of, you know, looking at each other in the huddle like, oh, man, why'd you jump off sides? We could have got off the field. But no, then Dallas gives it back. You know, Cedric Wilson gives it back with the illegal motion. And then you run two plays. The one play they were trying to do, they were trying to get Noah Brown on the out and up. And they couldn't get it clean because they had pressure. They had, you know, Dak was trying to get the ball down the field, but the corner didn't really bite on the out and up. They were just trying to, you know, run the route inside and then go behind it. And, you know, there just wasn't enough time to throw the ball. I mean, Dak had to get it out there as quick as he could. Brown couldn't adjust back to it. You know, I mean, they were trying to take some shots there. And that's where, like I was talking about, if you had the ability, if you felt like, okay, let's just hammer it with Zeke and hammer it again and then throw it. And, or maybe just kind of keep the thing moving, because you'd gotten six first downs along the way. And I'm thinking, man, just keep cooking this way. Just keep going and run this clock out. But the two passes down the field, it just didn't, you know, you're in a third and 12 situation. You really didn't have anywhere to go. I mean, Gallup at the end of it, he just didn't give enough room on the outside. You can't. I mean, he's a strong guy. He's got to keep more to the inside and give Dak at least the area to throw the ball in. Dak had nothing to throw to on the outside.
Speaking of that, on the game-winning touchdown from Wilson to Metcalf, how good of a job did Metcalf, a second-year player, do cutting that route in and allowing all that space between him and the back of the end zone for Wilson to drop the ball in? And then as it's coming over, then he steps over and grabs it. It's like, that was a savvy play right there. You got a quarterback that can do that and a second-year receiver that knows how to make the most of it.
Yeah, late pressure there. Just couldn't get anybody home. Four-man rush, and they were in scramble mode. And like we talked about leading up to this game, Russ likes to move whatever side he's going to throw to, and he moved to his right a step. And that, again, goes to Xavier Woods. They're in a two-deep look, and he looks at the route underneath, and then all of a sudden you've got Metcalf coming from the back, and it goes right behind him. And Thompson sees it too late. Thompson has to go be a football player, and by that time Russ has given him enough room to the outside, Metcalf to go and chase the ball and get it away from Thompson. But, again, you're in a two-deep look, and you got a guy crossing – in your zone, you're not deep enough, you don't see it, the awareness there, those plays are going to hurt you, and that's what happened to the Cowboys there.
Yeah, so tough, so close, though. Then now the Cowboys' secondary has allowed a 126.6 passer rating, or I should say the Cowboys' pass defense has allowed a 126.6 passer rating. That is worse than the NFL through 3 weeks, so they got some fixing to do. Okay, there is quite a bit of talk about Tristan Hill, who is really showing up. But KJ
in the wrong
Wright,
way there, yeah.
Yeah, KJ Wright, Pete Carroll, they're talking about it. KJ Wright posting a video, this has to be addressed. Doing dirty, dumb, malicious bleep like this can end someone's season. Clearly intentional, and getting fined isn't enough. I'm all for guys playing hard, but I have zero tolerance for this. How do you explain that? I thought, here's Tristan Hill, who has figured out, I have to play with my motor intentionally ramped up. I can't depend on my natural energy because I'm laid back. So I'm going to get fired up. I'm looking to rip somebody's freaking head off, dude. I'm not stopping until I hear the whistle. And I think he took it too far. That'd be my explanation for it, Brian.
Yeah, he's a really young player, and he's much maligned in a lot of ways. But finally, it looks like the light has come on, and here you're in a situation where you've got Carson wrapped up and you're worried about maybe him breaking loose, and you're thinking like, okay, if he's going to dive and go forward and try and gain an extra yard or two, I can't allow that to happen. And then just out of just his of being a football player rolls to try and, you know, I gotta
stop
get this
him.
Stop it.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I don't think that this is one of those things where Tristan Hill it was not a good play. It was not a good look. I don't think the intent was for Tristan Hill to hurt Chris Carson there. I really don't. I think it was just, I got to stop him, and the only way you stop him is to roll and try and get both his feet together, and you just so happen that his knee got rolled up. I also think what happened,
and
though, too,
Woods
Antoine
over.
Woods
yeah.
falling on him didn't do any.
More torque on it.
Exactly. You got a 320-pound man falling on the back of your leg when it's twisting. There were a lot more problems that play than Hill rolling on the ground.
Yeah, I don't want to totally absolve Hill. I don't think
he had to do that.
But you see the plays where you have one foot and your face is basically in the dirt.
Yeah.
The other guy's other foot might be up. He might be in a lunge and trying to power out.
Right.
But it is a fraternity, and guys take care of each other in situations like that.
There are dirty players in this league. I don't think Tristan Hill is one of them. I don't think he's played enough football to understand what being a dirty player is.
Game 6 is necessary. It's tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll talk about the glory of Game 5 and who all needs to be saluted for extending the series. Coming up next in the Nation.
First down, play action fake. Wilson wants to go deep. He's harassed by Lawrence. Throws it up for grabs and a juggle and an incompletion. Down at the 30-yard line, Lockett trying to run under a wish ball that Russell Wilson threw with DeMarcus Lawrence hanging all over him.
All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. An incredible game as far as just pure entertainment yesterday. Very unfortunate the Cowboys could not come up with a winning play, but they made a lot of them, including that one right there, getting Russell Wilson under pressure. I thought they did a pretty good job. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Right now, we want to salute the stars, talk a little bit about the storylines going into tonight's Game 6. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the Frankels, 214-333-3333, or go online to truckwreck.com. Going to be a little bit longer for Lyle Collins, as anticipated. Stephen Jones talking about that a little bit earlier. And we'll recap everything in the day's world of Cowboy news daily at 6:20. So that's 4 hours away. We'll be rocking here with you. But what an experience Saturday night, man. Staving off elimination, their 9th comeback win of the postseason. The Stars back at them again, Brian. What a trip this thing has been.
Yeah, I'm such a homer about this team right now. I mean, the injury report just looks terrible. The guys that are unfit to play, and, you know, with the questions with Sekera being a game time, you know, how are they going to manage with, you know, things defensively? When he went out for a little bit, they were short. You know, I mean, and like you talked about, General, in the crosstalk, there's so many things that you look at with Tampa, and they're clearly the more talented team, you know. And I want to believe that the Stars, because of what happened to them the other night, all the things that they've gone through in the bubble, the ups and downs of the season, the firing the coach, I just think there's something that this team can grab onto. And I think there's, you know, I just don't see, as Tampa as good as they are, I don't see their goalie being that guy that if it got to being a 2-1 game that maybe he could hold on. You know, I have confidence that I feel like that Dobie could maybe he could hang on. You know, I mean, I've kind of seen it with him, but You know, we need to take advantage of Vasilevskiy if we can. Those shots around the net, anything to kind of distract him and kind of throw Tampa off their game. Did a good job. It looked like the officials, after what happened the night before with the overtime call against Ben, decided, no, guys, go ahead, have at it. You know, hopefully, you know, game six tonight will be another one. There'll be a lot of heavy hitting. Guys kind of got their legs back under them after a back-to-back, which is incredible that the level of hockey, the way it was, and to play two overtimes and to continue on with the way they have. So hats off really to both teams. But, you know, hopefully that bunch in green tonight can get it done.
Yeah, you know, I do have my concerns, and maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later. I think it's great to talk about throwing the pucks at net, but in order to get in that position, you got to come out of your defensive shell, extend and pressure. That opens you up for the guys to get inside, and I think there's a decision to be made. And until you're down like 2 or 3 nothing, it's probably best just to sit back and look for counterattack opportunities. And as long as you can stay out of the power play, and then you're hoping for a little bit of luck. That being said, there's no reason to believe the Stars can't do it. You know, they can do it. I won't be surprised if they do it. I just think based on what I've seen in the first 5 games, the Lightning are clearly the better team. Salute to Joe Pavelski and Corey Perry, though. You know, I want to talk about these guys while the season is still on and acknowledge, you know, the two big offseason signings in their mid-30s. They've combined for 7 goals in the 5 games so far here in the final. Great job by the front office. Great job by those old men holding it down and giving this team not only a backbone back there, but some scoring punch as well. And that's been sweet.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, General, every time that we go on the power play, it seems so disorganized. And, you know, you watch Tampa and you're just holding your breath because they seem to be, they cycle the puck, they're in position, you know, you're fighting off shots. And we just seem like we even struggle getting it out of our own zone. And then, but then you got guys like Perry and Joe, and the way that they buzz around the net, they carry it in. They're not afraid to get in that area, that blue area with the goalie, and, you know, contort their bodies, you know, get the pucks, take cross checks in the back. I mean, that's what you have to have. A lot of, you know, that's kind of the way the Stars, you know, get goals. It's like get to the front of the net, bang around, hope for a deflection, and maybe it works out for you.
So that was Pavelski's 61st career postseason goal to take the all-time lead for, like, American-born defenseman or something like that.
Joe Mullins. Joe Mullin was one of them. And then it's just American-born American players. And Mike Modano was the other one. So congratulations to him.
We need to salute Tyler Seguin. 5 assists last 2 games. Maybe he's figured out something as far as playing with that wrist. Maybe he can't be the dominant finisher, but he's figuring out ways to at least set some guys up.
Yeah. Heggie was talking about this in the show earlier, that he's playing more of a 200-foot game. And, you know, that's where I think that you talk about what you have to have in a series is you have to have those players that are what you're called your star players, and they're doing all the little things that maybe the third or fourth line guys are doing as well. You know, that they're, you know, blocking shots, checking, forecheck, whatever you have to do when you're on the ice for those 30 seconds or so. He's surely doing all that. So credit to him for that.
And then salute to Khudobin, who asked the coaching staff after giving up, 5 goals in game 4, said, no, let me please do that back-to-back. And he shut it down, 39 saves, 2 goals allowed. So very happy with him as we're not going home continues.
Yeah,
and the puck drops tonight, 7 o'clock. Hockey Hawk joins us at 5.
Yeah, hopefully again, this will be the recipe tonight, get us to a game 7.
Here we go. It is time now for the G Bag of the Day, the best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. We play them all. Vote on which one we like the best, and that is your G Bag of the Day. How the heck you doing on this Monday, Lucius?
I'm doing great. Just trying to catch a vibe. Doing awesome though. You know.
Right on.
All right, where Champ? Am I at? I'm actually discombobulated. I'm confused as hell. I don't know what's going on.
Trying to talk yourself up, though?
Yeah, I am.
I like it. Yeah. Everything's good, man. Yeah, everything's outstanding.
My head's spinning, bro. I don't know what's going on right now.
Did you just try and take the mic and walk to the back of the studio? Yeah. Looked like you were just kind of like taking the – I'm going to go to the back of the studio here and just kind of – oh, wait, I'm connected here. Okay.
Yeah, I was looking for my notes, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to just wing it. How about it? That's how we do it on a Monday. We're just going to wing it. Okay. The Oklahoma high-speed chase. Remember the cop that sounds like Corey? Yeah.
Corey Cobb.
Yeah, and the lady, she did meth, and now she has to go poo real bad, which I think, you know, may be a correlation. Let's check the situation out real quick, though.
A high-speed chase.
Step out of the car!
And guns drawn in residential Enid. All starting with a traffic stop. At the wheel, Emily Owings, initially pulled over for not wearing her seatbelt, the only form of identification, her medical marijuana card.
Your license is suspended.
Why?
I don't know. And now I'm waiting to see if you have warrants through Woods County.
And poop so bad.
Poop where do so you think I was
birthday,
going?
Man.
Huh?
My birthday.
A bizarre excuse and her 28th birthday, not the only problem she's dealing with. A warrant out for her arrest in Winoka, allegedly fighting an officer.
Please, you just let me go.
Because I know your license is suspended.
Come on, man.
So
come on, bro.
More, can I please go home and go poop?
You have warrants through Woods County and they're coming to get you.
No, they're not.
I am.
Poop.
Sparking a pursuit, topping 70 miles per hour, eventually stopping.
Get out of the vehicle now!
Can I poop in your car, man?
Can I poop in your car?
You could have already been on your way to jail.
Yeah, not pooping.
Get in the car.
Police searching Owings' car and finding a pipe. And inside of it, meth.
You guessed it.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I think if you really got to go number two, that's a dang good excuse for speeding.
It really is.
But the problem is it gets overused, probably.
It really is.
Yeah. I think so.
Especially as an adult, because you don't want to tell another adult this is what's happening to you right now. So if I'm telling you that, it may be happening to me right now.
Yeah. It's not one of those that I can wait, all right? Yeah. It's happening one way or another, bro.
Pressure.
We got to hurry up. Okay, who's challenging?
Oh, that Metamucil hit at one time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't working all weekend, and finally it starts hitting you at one time. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I can't miss my window of opportunity, officer.
Talking about the stars, I'm going to do the star speech.
Okay.
Okay.
On Friday.
Yeah,
our boss,
Spittle.
Gavin
yeah.
Spittle, right here.
Uh-huh.
I think he fired him up a little bit.
Uh-huh. Anything else before we let you go, boss?
Heck yeah.
What do you got?
We need to change this. Okay. Why are we looking at this as possibly going down 3-1? Mm. We should be looking at this game tonight to tie it up at 2-3. Gentlemen, win tonight. And we're even at 2.
Mm-hmm.
We were underdogs against Calgary. Nobody thought you could beat Colorado. And Vegas? Vegas was going to sweep us, supposedly?
Gavin did.
And a one-game deficit? That's supposed to phase us? You don't want a piece of us, Tampa. Enjoy your game lead, because tonight, we're taking control. If you're a Tampa fan here in DFW, you want to drop the mitts? Find the Hockey Hawk. I'm ready.
What's the address?
I am ready to fight you. These talons are ready.
Yeah.
Tonight, Tyler Seguin, your goal drought ends. Tonight, you, Tampa Bay, get angry Jamie Benn. Alexander Radulov, to you I say, Igrat Umno, which in Russian means play smart. Or I just swore in Russian and we're all going to get fired.
Hysterical.
That is.
But
good.
It comes down to science, gentlemen.
Uh-huh.
Science. A lightning bolt is powerful.
Okay.
But a star controls its own universe.
All right.
Guess what, Tampa?
Galaxy.
As the great
Milky
Anton
ways.
Hudobin
come on,
says,
good candy
we're
bar.
Not going
home.
Home.
Yeah, dude, he killed it. He did.
Yeah, he did a good job.
And I believe he's going to join us at 5 o'clock.
Uh-oh, we got another one?
Yes, he's going to join us today at 5. I don't know if he's going back to the well. I tried to convince him, listen, you put that out there late, so maybe the players didn't hear it, but it hit for game 6.
It hit. Yeah, he got around.
He got around. What's
it? Just took a little longer.
Yeah, we got to go through the bubble. Yeah, you got to go through the bubble to get to him. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we tried to get him on at 4 today so we could get that bad boy onto social media and into the ether for the stars.
Yeah, it was incubation period.
Yeah, but we got the Mike McCarthy presser coming up at 4, so we're going to have to be on the trigger right there and get that blasted out across the – and that's if he delivers at 5 o'clock. You're going to have to tune in. The Hockey Hawk will be back at 5 for another pep-up talk for you Dallas Stars. Okay, who else is challenging, Lucius, before we get to Broadus?
You guys heard of the Eagles play-by-play guy, Merrill Reese?
Oh, he's – yeah, he's my buddy.
All right,
cool.
He would be.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but I'm laughing at it.
It was well played,
I feel like
though.
Some
I know
shots, but I'm trying to get in the groove. I'm taking all shots right now. All right, let's see. Yeah. Oh, Chappie does a great Merrill Reese. Apparently, I played there's a Merrill Reese clip that plays. Then you'll hear Chappie. Okay.
All right. Okay.
And now penalty flag fly. Oh, don't tell me the Eagles are gonna.
I think there was movement by the Eagles.
All start.
Oh. Awesome. Oh, my goodness. Oh, on a field goal to win it?
Play-by-play boys.
You got to get Chop to do Merrill Reese.
Give me a little Merrill, please.
It is absolutely disgusting what has happened with the Philadelphia Eagles. I am sitting here, whoever my color commentator is Freddie Mitchell. I am sitting here with Freddie Mitchell, and I am absolutely disgusted by the Philadelphia Eagles. And Carson Wentz. I mean, Carson Wentz was the second pick in the draft.
Yo!
He is absolutely terrible right now.
Yeah. Yo, that was freaking good.
That was awesome.
Woo, that's strong right there.
It is strong.
Either one of these could win. Man, so during the early games, I was in the truck driving around, and I turned on to NFL radio on satellite. Still got the free preview there. And the Philadelphia guys and the Pittsburgh guys are the most, like, meat-heady.
Yeah.
They're arguing. It's like, what the hell's going on here in this broadcast? Anyway, it's time to vote before
do one more of this? Not necessarily a nominee, but it's a nominee in our hearts.
Okay.
Jeff Okuda out of South Grand Prairie got his first NFL interception. Shout out to that whole fam.
Straight back. Dodges a defender as Murray. And the pass is going to be picked off. The third interception of the game for the Detroit Lions, and is Jeff Okuda still on his feet and knocked out of bounds?
What, boy?
Around the 20-yard line. So Okuda, who's getting quite an education here in his second NFL start, and the third pickoff by the Lions today.
Well done from SGP to Ohio State, now with the Detroit Lions. And took a step closer to Defensive Rookie of the Year yesterday. He's quite a player, isn't he, Brian?
Yeah, he is. Jeffrey Okuda. I can cover you up. Love to have him on your team.
Okay, it's the three-time champ, Corey Kopp. It's Petey Gavin Spittle with the Hockey Hawk Pep Talk. It's Merrill Reese with Choppy. Or it's Jeff Okuda. Man, I could go with anybody.
Jeffrey already. The fact that he's being played right here, that's already love enough, you know?
You got it. Yeah, let me go with the program director, Hockey Hawk, Gavin Spittle, with my vote. Lucius, what do you say?
Yeah, I'm going to go with that speech, too. I hope he wins tonight, damn it. Come on.
Yeah, you know what? I'll vote for Choppy because I thought that was a very good Merrill Reese.
Yeah, and that's your buddy, huh?
Well, yeah, Merrill and I used to work with him, though. He always, he'd sit down and watch tape with me. He's a very nice gentleman. The guy he works with is Mike Quick, the former wide receiver. Yeah, he thought it was Freddie Mitchell, but it's Mike Quick.
Perfect name.
Yeah.
Perfect name for a football player. All right. It is time now for Brian Broaddus' daily content. And, sir, where are we going next?
The scout's eye is going to tell you about some things you might miss in this game. We'll do that next.
All righty. Thank you very much, Lucius. It's time now for Brian Broaddus and his daily content. Here he is, former Cowboys scout, Broaddus.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Had an opportunity to sit down and go through the tape and always like to try and come on here and maybe talk about two or three things that we saw that we maybe missed during the game. And I just want to start off with what we saw from Aldon Smith, if I could. And, I think that where Aldon Smith is so much different than what we're seeing from the other Cowboys pass rushers, and this includes Tank as well, is that he's doing a great job of setting up his rush. He's doing a great job, and he's the one guy we saw, we heard all week about guys going back and playing with their hand on the ground. Griffin played his hand on the ground majority of the game. You had Tank. He played with the majority of the game his hand on the ground. There were a couple of times where he did stand up in some situations. But overall, Aldon Smith, he's going to play standing up. And he has a feel for how to do that. But he does a really nice job of setting up his rush. And he was going against Duane Brown, who the Seahawks traded for. They gave up some picks for this guy a while back and paid him some money and things. So he's, a quality tackle, according to them. But he made this guy – he embarrassed this guy. He really, really did. The way he was able to attack him on the outside, and, and Brown really didn't have an answer for him. And then when it was set you up outside move and then come back underneath, that's where Aldon Smith's game has always been. But now that he's a bigger guy, he's able to play with some power. And so when Brown tries to step back inside on him, he's got no shot. Because Aldon Smith's got the power to just penetrate there, and then he was able to get in on Russell Wilson a couple of different times there. So a tip of the cap to Aldon Smith, the way that he was able to play yesterday. And it all is about setting guys up. If you make a guy, you keep beating a guy to his shoulder, and then you take him back underneath, that's why you're going to get a couple of sacks during a game like that. So good job by Aldon Smith doing that.
He's one of my favorite guys to watch because consistently he's the bully. You know,
he is.
So cool how good he is still after so many years off.
Yeah.
You wonder what could have been.
Yeah. And I think that he realizes that too. And he's playing, and you could see with his demeanor, and I know I was watching the game yesterday, him coming off the field, you could see it with his face that, you know, when they weren't getting a stop or they did get a stop, you could see that he was really, really locked into this game. And a lot of battles, you know, through his career playing against the Seahawks and stuff like that. The game is coming to him. You know, he's one of those guys we talk about, the ability to just fall off a, you know, you roll out of bed and rush the passer, the kind of the hope you have for Randy Gregory. Same kind of thing, but this guy is, and he's winning with technique, and that's great to see. Okay, Seattle's plan early in this game was to bring the blitz, you know, and Jamal Adams. That was the primary way that they were going to attack the Cowboys. They did not feel like the Cowboys were going to be able, that they could not get a pass rush unless they brought pressure with Jamal Adams as the rusher. And I have to give Ezekiel Elliott, I don't think Ezekiel had a great game by any means, and we're going to cover the play. Matter of fact, on the safety, that's his fault. The reason why they got the safety was his fault.
Slipping.
He tries to, but let me just real quick, if I could go back, you know, with the blitzing stuff with Adams, he has to step up and pick up. He picks up Adams a couple of different times, and one of them was the early pass that they threw in the game to Dalton Schultz that went for like 20 some odd yards, 26, 28 yards, something like that. But that was if Elliott doesn't make that blitz pickup, Dak Prescott's going to get hit. The ball doesn't get off. So nice job early in that football game with Ezekiel Elliott. He didn't have the great success running it, but you talk about catching it and being the complete backs and those types of things. You got to be able to blitz pickup, and he was able to do that on a very difficult blitzer, one of the best when it comes to secondary pressure guys. So a tip of the cap to him about that. Okay, on the safety. You know, this was more on him. The way the play was designed was, as it's coming off the left, I had some people ask me, why would you run behind Connor Williams and Brandon Knight and Schultz over there? You know, that just seems like a weak area to try and get that ball off the line. But those guys did a good job of coming off the ball. There was space there. And what happened was Elliott was going to thinking that he was going to have to hit it a little wider than he you know, normally would have. If he would have just taken the ball and gone to how they blocked the play with hat on hat, he would have probably got out to the 3-yard line. But he tries to make a jump cut to get back to the inside, and as he cuts, he loses his balance, and then that's what causes him to go to the ground. If he would have just trusted that those guys were going to get their blocks, he could have probably just banged his way out of there and got the ball off that line. It probably wouldn't have been a big game, but at least they wouldn't have got the safety. And it wasn't because of penetration or anything like that. It was him thinking that he needed to go a little wider instead to try and get back to the middle.
It can be hard to trust the plan when your guys aren't winning their matchups, though, right?
No.
To be fair to Zeke.
Yeah. That's not Tyron Smith over there and young Jason Witten or somebody like that that you have faith in. Yeah, that could be a problem there. But – to those guys' credit, they had hats on hats, and they were blocked up. Right. It just the press, you know. I mean, but it wasn't a penetrator that caused him to have to make that. It was him trying to saying, okay, maybe I have to hit it a little wider, but I need to go back inside. Okay, we kind of talked about this. The long pass to Metcalf, with Diggs, it appeared that you know that, and this was the one that he was able to finish on. You know, he thought he was getting help. I believe it with my heart, because what happens was when you watch the play, you see that the safety just sits right there. I mean, the safety never moved, you know. Wow. And he's thinking, okay, well, I've got the outside. He's going to take the inside, but then they just go right by him up the field with nobody there. But great job by him of finishing. You know, it's just, you know, for Metcalf, you know, he's got to finish too. But it goes back to the whole situation was they've struggled when these safeties are supposed to be in an area and they're not. The touchdown that Metcalf had later in the game was a prime example of Woods not being in position. They're in a two deep look, but you know, the crosser comes behind him and he's not deep enough. Thompson, the other safety's deep enough, and now you've got the crosser and the ball comes over the top and there you go. So, you know, just a bad situation, just a bad game for Woods overall. With his eyes and that's those problems.
Is that a coaching issue to you or player issue?
I think that's a player issue. I really, really do. I think, you know, when you see guys doing their jobs, and it happened several times too on the goal line, General, with the problems that they had down there with the pickups inside the 5 yard line. You had guys just dropping coverage, not seeing what they needed to see. You know, with Thomas allowing the tight end to get to the outside on him, you know, that's, Hollister, you know, he's got to get to the flat, the two-point play. You know, that's Woods' guy to the outside. You know, the deep cross on the back, that's Diggs. They're playing man coverage. You know, those are things that you see everybody else doing their assignment, and it's easy to do. If it's two or three other guys busting, you're thinking, man, they're confused here. But it's just one guy that busts and everyone else is playing their job, then you're like going, okay, that's on the player. You know, that's the you know, thing that bothered me the most about that. So the thing I'm going to go back with the Cowboys run they have a nice design on defense, and it was the play where Worley gets called for illegal contact. And it's because, and they get sack. Yeah, yeah. They get the sack. They get the sack because from Lawrence and Lewis both. You know, they run what's called a fire zone. So they're going to fire Lewis, and then they're going to drop, Lawrence there, right? So, you know, but that call could have gone either way. But, man, you're downfield that far. There is contact down there. But, you know, it's one of those unfortunate things because you make a great call. You actually fooled Russell Wilson here. You got him fooled. He's thinking that, okay, he's going to get just the pressure with Lawrence. Instead, you get a drop and you get a blitz. It confuses the blockers. And now you got Lewis on top, and he's scrambling around in there, and they get him to the ground. But, you know, you get
that was brutal, man.
There's
been a lot of very lucky things that have happened for the Cowboys, the onside kick. But there's been a couple that are just like, you got to be kidding me. Every time we need something to go our way, there's a damn flag.
Well, here's another one, too. The Lewis didn't need to grab Lockett up the field because he had Worley and Thompson behind him on the play. They were in position to pick up Lockett on the route. And Lewis just grabs him. You know, he doesn't need to do that.
Yeah. Oh, by the hand.
Yeah.
The
he grabs him. But if you watch the play from the end zone copy, though, Thompson and Worley were in shape. Worley comes from the inside to help make the play. Worley's right there. That's why he gets the interception, because he sees what's happening with the route. He's able to adjust. Thompson's over there too. There's no need for Lewis to grab, you know, to grab that guy at all. So, you know, it's just unfortunate. Okay. Going to give Dak Prescott credit for something here. On Wilson's first touchdown, this is where, you know, we talk about Dak real quick, with Dak reading the play, and he sees that KJ Wright's in coverage. He's got a linebacker with no safety help in the middle of the field. All of a sudden, he throws the ball to him there. Wilson's able to get away, and then he beats Diggs, the safety, into the end zone. Great job by Dak recognizing no safety help in the middle of the field. You got a linebacker lined up on a slot player right there. And great, that's what you got to do. He got the protection, got the ball out, and then Wilson was able to finish on that. So great job of adjustment, reading, and seeing, and a finish for you right there.
Yeah, a lot of good things happening with this Cowboys team. They are 1-2, but if they could get healthy and clean up, well, they got some major defensive backs issues.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know if you can clean that up over the course of the year, but you can still do enough to possibly create a contender out of a 1-2 and very disappointing start, I believe. Okay, at least it's not as bad as what's going on in Philly. Coach Doug Peterson asked today if they're going to bench Wentz, go with the rookie. It's next in the Nation.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
What?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.